Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Steve Yeager, Chairman of Assembly Judiciary, here for the whole show on all new Nevada Newsmakers.
Located in the heart of Carson City, the Bank Saloon, a historic watering hole with a modern feel. With a variety of classic cocktails featuring Nevada spirits, space for private events, conferences, and an incredible atmosphere. The Bank Saloon offers a great location to work and play. Come visit us, located at the corner of 5th and Carson. We'll save you a drink.
Serving Our Kids Foundation's mission is to serve homeless, at-risk, and food insecure children in grades K through 8 throughout Southern Nevada. During the pandemic, Serving Our Kids has seen a 42% increase in the number of children served, providing more than 4,500 meals to kids in over 100 schools weekly. Serving Our Kids is powered by community support and volunteers. To learn how you can help, visit servingourkids.org.
When in Carson City, Nevada Newsmakers records in the conference room at the Bank Saloon. Coverage of the 2021 Nevada legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Ahern Rentals is ready for your next project. Liberty Dental Plan, making members shine one smile at a time. And Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are delighted to welcome back to the program here in Carson City, Steve Yeager. He is the chairman of Assembly Judiciary. He's also on growth and infrastructure and revenue. And speaking of revenue, almost $3 billion coming to Nevada. What are your thoughts on how this should be spent?
Well, that's a lot of money, Sam. First, let me say it's good to be here with you. It feels like it was years ago that I was here. I know it was a couple months ago, but in the middle of the session, it can feel that way. But you know, I think that the priority for Nevada has got to be coming out of this pandemic and helping people that have struggled the most through the pandemic. You think about folks who are just getting back to work. Think about things in our society that we always complain about in Nevada. Lack of community providers, lack of health care, the education system. I think those are all going to be priorities. Not to discount the budget holes. You know, we've had to go through a really brutal budget process even now of making a lot of cuts. Those were on top of the cuts from the special session. So I think you'll see an emphasis on plugging some of those budget holes. And then infrastructure as well. You know, state agencies are, some of them are in desperate need of upgrades, the Department of Motor Vehicles, DETR, and the like. So hopefully if we ever find ourselves in this situation again, folks aren't gonna be waiting in line. They're gonna be able to, you know, we're gonna be able to modernize some of those. But I think what you'll see is a collaborative process where we ask the community, we ask interested individuals, where would you like to see us spend some of this money? Because it, you know, really is a blessing to have this from the federal government. And so we're gonna take that responsibility seriously and hopefully put us on a path forward where we don't end up in the situation that we were in the last couple of years.
Hopefully, you know, because of the circumstances, you know, of the pandemic, I couldn't agree with you more. Although, when you talk to people who have expertise in Asia, they say that actually this is going to be something that's likely to happen again, but at least we would be better prepared to know what to deal with, like, you know, getting the toilet paper companies to make more toilet paper. I'm kidding, of course. But, you know, just with the monies from the Economic Forum, that looks like you got about $900 million dollars rather, that's going to be additional monies that you saw there. If you look at the gaming numbers, I mean, it has been unbelievable, the pent-up demand. And so all of them in their quarterly returns are saying, you know, that March was an incredible month, and a lot of them are saying April was even better. So it seems like we are going to have a ton of money, you know, beyond this $3 billion. So are you looking at one-shot things as the way to go, or are you looking at ongoing things? What do you think makes the most sense from your perspective?
Well, before I answer that, I'll say, you know, the numbers out of gaming have been encouraging. And as someone who's flown back to Las Vegas almost every weekend during session, I've seen a noticeable uptick in the airport. It looks back to normal now. I mean, you can't even get an Uber or Lyft. The taxi line is hundreds of people long. So I think that pent-up demand is real, and I think it's coming in a huge way, which is going to be helpful for our revenue base. But to get to your question, I think it'll be a combination of both. We certainly have one-shot needs in this state, particularly when it comes to upgrading some of the state agency infrastructure, the technology, the ability to interface online so people don't have to go wait. So I think you see that, but then I think you'll also see hopefully ongoing funding streams, and particularly when it comes to healthcare and community resources. As you indicated, hopefully we're never in a pandemic like this again, but if we are, we have to be prepared. And, you know, we spent a lot of time building an infrastructure, whether it was making sure people got food that they needed, and then even on the vaccine side, building up that infrastructure to be able to have folks have access to vaccines in a timely manner. So I think you're gonna see a combination of that. And then of course, we need to be responsible. We depleted the entire rainy day fund during the special session. So I think it certainly makes sense to squirrel some of that money away to make sure that, you know, if we find ourselves in a situation again, that we have some to fall back on. But as you can imagine, there are a lot of folks who have a lot of ideas and a lot of people that like to see that money go to certain areas. So, you know, we'll take all that input and I'm sure we'll be thoughtful about it, but we want to make sure that we are building a much more resilient Nevada than the one that we had 2, 5, or even 10 years ago.
When you talk about infrastructure, how do you define it? Because the Biden administration has come out with a much broader scope in terms of what they regard as infrastructure, rather than just bridges and roads. Obviously, broadband, especially to rural Nevada, has become hugely important because of what we saw with the school systems across the state and their inability to provide that. How do you define infrastructure?
Well, you know, that's probably the definition I would use. I think you hit the high points there, which is the infrastructure that we use on a day-to-day basis, whether it's the physical infrastructure, the bridges, the roads, transportation. But then broadband, of course, is critically important, and we saw that during the pandemic with distance learning. And, you know, even I think all of us sitting in our houses, we realize how much bandwidth we might use when we're on a Zoom call and you've got the TV on and all your gadgets are on the internet, and then you throw some Netflix in there, and of course we all have those issues. So, you know, I think all those would fall into that category. I also think, you know, our energy sector is something that would fall into that category. And you know, there's two parts that there's the roads and there's the infrastructure for electric vehicles. But then, you know, I think solar and, you know, solar projects that we have in the state would certainly qualify as infrastructure in my mind, because they're bringing in energy, they're being able to store it, we're being able to push that out and lower people's bills. But, you know, I think the sky's the limit when it comes to infrastructure. And I think some of that, the community input and the stakeholder input we're going to take, I think is going to lead the way in terms of what else might we not even be thinking about that would fall into that category that would make sense for the state long term.
So the other side of this, and I can go back to the beginnings of the Gibbons administration to talk about this, was at the time NDOT said that they needed $6 billion to catch up on road work that was needed. And I talked to an advisor to the Gibbons campaign, and he said to me, you know, if you gave NDOT $6 billion to work on roads, you would never get reelected because nobody would be able to drive anywhere because there would be cones all over every street. And so, you know, we have to, you know, take this step by step. But the other part of this is that right now we're struggling to get employees. It seems like the president is now starting to come around a little bit, because I think there's been such a blowback over his comments that he didn't think that it was the unemployment that was making people stay home rather than going to work. Senator Settlemyer was on the program a couple of days ago, and he suggested instead of, you know, paying people $300 a week extra for unemployment, that we should use that $300 a week as an incentive to go back to work. How does that sound to you?
Well, I think the issue is pretty complex about people going back to work. I mean, certainly there are folks, I think, who are making more money on unemployment than they would be otherwise. But then, you know, you have a whole host of other issues, right? People who were working at certain jobs got laid off, trying to get back into that job, and they're having difficulties. You still have people who haven't been vaccinated, people with health concerns. So, you know, I think all these ideas are worthy of consideration. I don't know about that one in particular, but I do think as we move forward, we're going to see that return to work for people, because those opportunities hopefully are going to even be greater for them than what the unemployment money is now. But, you know, I haven't seen any sort of definitive data or information on that. But, you know, it's a frustration that I hear, and one I hear a lot, and what I've seen at the airport is rideshare. Nobody seems to be doing rideshare anymore. You show up and there are no cars available. And so there's clearly a reason for that. So it's something we need to really look at as a state and make sure we're getting people back to work, especially as we have hopefully 40, 50 million tourists coming into Las Vegas over the summertime and beyond. You know, obviously we need people there. We need service workers there, so that's a good experience for those tourists and they want to come back to town.
And the $15 an hour minimum wage is out the window. It's like, at this point, if you're not offering $19.20, I've got a client that has a job that needs to be done over the next month, paying $23 an hour. I mean, that's a long ways away from the state minimum wage.
It is, and you know, whenever we debate minimum wage, we often hear about, though, the market's gonna dictate it and the market sets the rate. So maybe this is the one time I agree where the market is setting the rate and is setting a higher rate. And you know, hopefully there's a way to make that work, because you know, I've never been comfortable with the fact that someone could work full-time job plus and not be able to make ends meet. And so, you know, hopefully this is the start of a good trend. But these are real issues of coming out of a pandemic, and you know, they're not issues that we've had to deal with as a state and really as a country in decades. So I think we're all trying to find our best way forward with those sort of two goals. Number one being, we need to take care of people in this time when they haven't been able to work, and you know, that's a responsibility that we have for people to be able to pay their bills. But then at the same time, you don't want the incentive where people aren't going to work. So how do you find that balance? And I think it's been really tricky, not just for state legislators, but for, you know, local and county electeds. But I'm also confident that we'll find the way forward. And I think this will sort of correct itself as we continue to come out of this pandemic. We continue to get people vaccinated and the state and Las Vegas in particular become the places we know and love.
I couldn't agree more. It was interesting, after you and I were going back and forward on email yesterday, I read a story in the RJ that Marilyn Kirkpatrick was actually calling people to get them to go and get vaccinated. You've been vaccinated, I've been vaccinated. Why do you think people aren't getting vaccinated at this point, and what can we do to encourage people, because that's really where we need to be, especially in Clark County, to get back to 100%?
Yeah, it's critically important, and I think like anything else, it's the relationships that you have with people. If you are close to someone, you know them, and you know they haven't been vaccinated, talk to them, tell them to get vaccinated. In terms of the whys, I mean, I don't know. I think there's some pandemic fatigue where people just feel like they've had enough. I think there's also some people out there that feel like, well, if everyone else got vaccinated, then why is it important for me to do it? But then, you know, we still have a number of folks in the community just don't really know where to go and how to do it. And I think you say to yourself, well, how is that possible? There's so much information out there. But we have to remember that not all of that information gets pushed out to communities equally. So, you know, I think there really has to be an effort. And the more we can make it easy for people, if we can bring vaccines to the community, we've learned one thing about the American people over the last 20 years, we love our convenience.
Right.
And if you make it convenient, people will do it. So, you know, we've had some discussions about, you know, mobile vaccine trucks, and can we take those out to communities? But I think we have to continue to work on that, because, you know, the last thing we want to see is where, you know, the majority of the population is vaccinated, but you have people that aren't, and then they're getting sick in the hospital. And, you know, it's a real shame that would happen when we have all these doses that are sitting here. So I would just say, talk to people, friends, family, those who are skeptical, let them know about your experience and that it turned out okay. And hopefully we'll get that rate much higher than it is right now. And certainly commend Commissioner Kirkpatrick. She is relentless in her work ethic. So I'm not surprised at all that she's personally calling people and telling them to get vaccinated.
Yes, I may text her just to get a call back here and have that discussion. I think that now that we're seeing the school system and the higher education systems looking at mandating vaccines for people to be able to come back for in-school learning, that may affect a lot more people who are going, well, you know, I don't need to get vaccinated. Well, maybe you do. Let's take a break. More with Assemblyman Steve Yeager after this timeout.
Safety. We all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety too. In fact, we created. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and youth safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions. And all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority, and it's ours too. Every day, in everything we do.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail. We help it grow. And we mean business.
RANNV.org.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Hi, I'm Renee Summerauer, digital news anchor here at 7 at 7. Watch our streaming nonstop newscast immediately with your mobile phone. 7 at 7 is the new way for you to get every bit of local news you need in just 7 minutes. Breaking news, local neighborhood news, weather, and sports are just a click away. Reporters bring you all of what's happening in the Valley. From Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, YouTube, and more. Get every bit of local news you need from the RJ and LVRJ.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Steve Yeager. He is the chairman of Assembly Judiciary. The pro-death penalty arguments, have you been swayed by any of those at this point?
Well, I'll say this, Sam. I've always said, I've been consistent that I think there are space for differences of opinion on this issue, and it's an issue that's very, very personal to people. So I certainly respect the arguments I've heard. They have not been personally persuasive to me. I still remain adamantly opposed to the death penalty, but I certainly understand how folks could want to keep it, and you know, especially victims' family members. Certainly got to have space for that, and so I understand them, but just for me personally, I'm the same place I was at the beginning of the session and the same place I've been for at least a decade or more.
How tough is it to hear the testimony?
It's really difficult. You know, I think what a debate like the death penalty shows you is that, you know, unfortunately we're human beings, and we are capable of doing really awful things to one another. And, you know, I think that's heartbreaking in any context, whether it be accidental things or intentional acts. It's really difficult on both sides of the issue. And, you know, we heard in the hearing that, you know, there were victims' family members who wanted the death penalty, and there were victims' family members who didn't want the death penalty. And there were family members who were survivors of people who had been executed by the state. And so all of that's really sort of heart-wrenching testimony, and I think, you know, it makes you sort of question sometimes how we act as human beings and why we do some of these things. But, you know, you do your best to sort of step back from that emotion and in this role as an elected official and try to make the best policy decision. But certainly a difficult hearing, and I think it's always that way. It was that way in 2017 when we heard the bill, and certainly this session in 2021.
If you don't mind me asking, can you paraphrase somebody who had had a family member executed and what their response to you was?
Yeah, it was really powerful testimony. It was a lady who lives here in Las Vegas, but she grew up in Texas, and her father was executed by the state of Texas. And you know, she gave very, very moving testimony about the last time she was able to visit her father in prison behind a wall. And you know, she asked if she could, she was a young girl, she was probably 5 or 6 years old. She asked if she could just hug her dad, and they wouldn't let her do it. They said, you're not allowed to. And you know, what she conveyed to us was, it was her father trying to say sort of all those things that a father would want to say to a daughter, knowing that this was the last time he was ever going to see her, and he only had 5 minutes. And you know, I don't think she didn't try to belittle whatever it was that he did, but she just talked about how that impacted her as a little girl and growing up and sort of having that trauma associated with that. And that, you know, her point was, you know, no one really thinks about us, and we sort of have these ongoing issues because of this as well. So I thought that testimony was was very powerful, and it was a voice that we really hadn't heard in this conversation before. And so, you know, kudos to her for being courageous enough to share that. And I think it really did have an impact on the committee members because it was just something we hadn't thought about before.
More with Assemblyman Steve Yeager after this timeout.
Tamarack Casino is giving away two Mercedes-Benz during the $125,000 Benz or Cash giveaways. Plus, players get 5x points on video reels every Friday. Win two Mercedes-Benz now through May at Tamarack Casino.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you. But we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low. And our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
The Do It Right guys at Nevada Heating have one mission. Your furnace breaks down today, we fix it today. Why freeze for days while your furnace is down when Nevada Heating can get the job done today and you can get warm again? For nearly 50 years, locally owned Nevada Heating has been getting the job done right. Call today at 323-5585 and we'll fix it today. That's 323-5585 or online at nevadaheating.com.
Serving Our Kids Foundation's mission is to serve homeless, at-risk, and food insecure children in grades K through 8 throughout Southern Nevada. During the pandemic, Serving Our Kids has seen a 42% increase in the number of children served, providing more than 4,500 meals to kids in over 100 schools weekly. Serving Our Kids is powered by community support and volunteers. To learn how you can help, visit servingourkids.org.
Tamarack Casino is giving away two Mercedes-Benz during the $125,000 Benz or Cash giveaways. Plus, players get 5x points on video reels every Friday. Win two Mercedes-Benz now through May at Tamarack Casino.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Assemblyman Steve Yeager. He is chairman of Assembly Judiciary. He's on growth and infrastructure and revenue. Marijuana lounges, are they going to happen?
Both fingers crossed. So the bill is in Ways and Means right now because there's a fiscal note attached to it, and these are legitimate fiscal notes. The Cannabis Compliance Board is going to need this to ramp up their staffing. The Attorney General is going to need to ramp up some staffing to advise the Cannabis Board. So I'm hopeful, but what we're seeing now is they're getting all the budgets out of the way, so they're working on the education budget, and I think once those budget dominoes start to fall, I'm very hopeful we'll get a hearing out of Ways and Means, and I'm hopeful that the Senate will see it the same way we do, because it is well beyond time for this to happen. So I think the bill is in a very nice place, but it's just sort of sitting there waiting for a couple other dominoes to fall first.
Do you believe that the revenues that will be generated by the marijuana lounges will be more than enough to compensate for the increased state costs?
I do. I do believe that. And that was the case initially when we opened dispensaries, but there's always that upfront cost. And so back then what happened was the state essentially loaned the money to get the system set up and then recoup the money when fees were paid and revenue came in. So I think that's going to be the same case here. So I'll be leaning on Chair Carlton of the Ways and Means Committee to sort of help me through that process of how we can satisfy those fiscal notes, because I think this is really going to be a benefit to the state, not just on the revenue side, but on the social side. And we're talking about the pent-up demand for Las Vegas, and I think you're going to see that with consumption lounges coming online too, that can add a whole nother dynamic to the reasons people want to come visit Nevada.
It was interesting, somebody wrote me yesterday when they knew that you were going to be on the show, and they said, are you looking at marijuana lounges across the state, not just in Las Vegas, but, you know, Reno, Sparks, Northern Nevada?
Yeah, so if the bill passes, it does allow them statewide, but it is going to be up to the local governing body to decide whether to have them. So typically county commissions. So, you know, if we're being realistic about it, I think you would look where dispensaries are currently located in the state, and those are probably the places that are going to have consumption lounges if they so choose. So you think about Washoe County, Clark County, Some in Elko County up in Wendover, they have a dispensary there as well. So there will be that local ability to decide whether they want them or not.
Are you surprised at some of the trouble that the marijuana industry has been having in terms of revenue, that the illegal market has still been fairly strong just because the cost of purchasing on the black market versus purchasing legitimate product, the cost differential has been huge?
Yeah, I'm a little surprised that it's the numbers are where they are, but I do think, you know, some of what we can do with the Cannabis Compliance Board is sort of step up enforcement of that. I mean, I think there's just kind of been a lack of enforcement on the illegal side, and I think rightfully so. When we have limited resources, it's probably not the number one issue, but I think it's important that the Cannabis Compliance Board really get into that space and make sure we're trying to crack down on those, and not just on the revenue side, but you know, you don't know what you're getting in that market, and at least with our products here in the state, you know, they've been tested. They're going to be safe, and if there's an issue, they're going to be pulled off the shelf.
All right, now the most serious question that we have to raise, which is how much money have you saved personally during this session by not having to hand out donuts in your office because there's been nobody coming by? For those that don't know, it's been a tradition that people come to your office, they get a donut, and then they get a photograph with you, and then it goes up on the wall. So are you saving big bucks here?
Well, so the good news is we got the donut wall relaunched a few weeks ago. So, but the beginning of session, we did not have it. So yeah, I would say we typically do about 100 donuts every Friday. So that ends up being about $100. So we're probably in the four figures or greater that I've saved personally. Now, I'm not going to say that I haven't eaten my own share of donuts. But I haven't bought them for the building, but we have it open for, I guess, 2 more weeks or 3 more weeks of the session. So if anyone is in the building on a Friday morning, come by and grab a donut and grab a photo. It'd be good to see you.
I thank you so much for taking out the time. I know how busy you are at this point in the session, and I really appreciate you being here. Thank you.
It was my pleasure. Thank you, Sam.
And we'll be right back.
Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts, and now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian, and at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
Safety. We all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety too. In fact, we create it. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and you safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions. And all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority and it's ours too. Every day, in everything we do.
ProGroup Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. ProGroup Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. ProGroup Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers on television, radio, audio and video, podcasts, and YouTube. We'll see you on the next broadcast coming to you from Carson City. See you then.